Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, it was really surprising. As we're driving in, traffic everywhere, and I was like, they said the roads were going to be shut down or something like that, and I was like, oh, it can't be too bad, it's a practice. And it just shows, you know, how hard, you know, Bills Mafia, the fans, everybody, how much love they have for this team and this community. It's just, it's amazing to see it.
That is Bills rookie wide receiver Khalil Shakir. Kind of funny that he thinks that's the most fans have ever been in attendance to watch him play, and it was a practice. I was there on Friday, and it was a good time. The traffic was definitely game day-like. It did feel like a preseason game in terms of the attendance, and the atmosphere was maybe even better than that because it was kind of like what camp has been here, like a giant party throughout the first couple of weeks. But a good time and some good, you know, good play on the field. I thought the Bills did well, making it entertaining with the drives and whatnot. It was more like a scrimmage at times than even, I think, a normal practice. So good on them, and they went later than I thought they would. I thought they'd be wrapped by 7. Maybe it was always the plan to go later than that, but they were still on the field by like 7:45, I think. So pretty good job and a pretty cool event to be a part of on Friday at the stadium. Joining me now on the Wester Hotline, we're going to talk some Colts. We're bouncing around each division. Let's do the AFC South a little bit this week. Kevin Bowen joins me now on the Wester Hotline from 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis, covering the Indianapolis Colts. Hey, Kevin, thanks for hopping back on the show. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks for having me, guys.
So I think the obvious first question, I'd imagine any show you ever go on about the Colts, the first question, right, has got to be about quarterback and how big an upgrade it is from Wentz to Matt Ryan. Hey, Kevin, we got you.
You're breaking up a little bit. Can you throw that at me again? Sorry about that.
Sure. No, as long as you can hear me fine now. Essentially, just basically – the first question that I'd imagine that you'd get most of the time, how big a quarterback upgrade is going from Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan for Indianapolis?
Yeah, I think it's such a fascinating debate. It almost seems like how much Jim Irsay backed his car over Carson Wentz about 1,000 times this offseason, and really everybody in that Colts organization did. It's like you're seeing the ex-boyfriend and it just got expelled from the local high school, and now your daughter's dating like the valedictorian and the starting quarterback is how people talk about it. Do I think Matt Ryan's an upgrade? I do. You know, how much so I think is debatable. I mean, certainly he's going to walk into Indianapolis and have a running game that he didn't sniff in Atlanta. But the wide receiver and the tight ends are a major question mark, and the Colts are replacing 2 starters in the offensive line. So I think there was a little bit of give and take. Again, I think Ryan, from a pre-snap standpoint, from a processing standpoint, the Colts feel like they have an advantage there that they didn't have last year, and I would agree with that. But, you know, from an off-script standpoint, and maybe creating a few big plays, you know, that break down during the course of a play, you aren't going to be able to tap into as much of that. So I think he's an upgrade. I think he's enough of an upgrade to win a poor division. But to say that, you know, you're upgrading 12, 15 spots in the quarterback hierarchy in the NFL, it's probably a little bit premature.
The Ryan move made sense. I mean, for what the Colts are trying to be and for what the roster is around them, is the team content to you and are fans content with this kind of year-to-year changing who the starter is? Because this is 5 years in a row now where they've got a different starting quarterback going into the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely wild and frankly a bit horrifying. I mean, when you think that the Colts have Peyton Manning from 98 to 2010, and then Andrew Luck was the starter for the first 5-6 years of his career, and then all of a sudden in 2017, Scott Tolzien starts the opener. Luck comes back in 2018, then he retires. It's Jacoby Brissett in 2019. It's Phillip Rivers in the COVID year of 2020, and then in 2021, last year you had Carson Wentz, and now it's Matt Ryan. So, yeah, I mean, fans don't like it at all. But, you know, it is a little bit of, like, what else were you going to do? The Colts will admit it to you that they got a bit lucky this offseason in settling on Ryan. But I feel like from a long-term quarterback question, you know, they haven't been in great positions in the draft, certainly to try and address that. And the Colts are pretty adamant that they're not going to take a guy just to take a guy. So they feel like the Matt Ryan thing is a two-year window, potentially a little bit longer, but, you know, 2 years would be kind of the floor of that. And they'll continue to evaluate every offseason if they can find a little bit more of a longer-term answer.
It feels like to me it was sellable, right, Kevin? That, like, the roster looks so good on paper, and there were, almost every metric last year said the Colts were a good team, like a great team even, that just got unlucky at times, including that final game against Jacksonville. And, you know, there were moments where Wentz probably left you wanting, if that's even maybe putting it lightly. So does that seem right? Like, that last year, is it viewed maybe as fluky that they didn't make the playoffs, and that fans and media actually in the team itself think more of what they have than what they put to paper last season?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, if you look at their playoff chances of 2 weeks ago in the season last year, it was like 98% or something. They lose a home game to the Raiders, a game that they had numerous chances in that game to win, and then they lose to Jacksonville in the final week of the season. And frankly, they got their ass kicked in the final game of the year in Jacksonville, very poor on every side of the ball in that game. So, yes, I do think they feel that way. I mean, they do benefit from playing in the UC division, the AFC, and you know, while Tennessee has had a nice run here under Mike Vrabel, you know, the Colts certainly be in the wild card mix with three teams getting in from the from both conferences wild card wise with the expanded playoffs. So yeah, they don't feel like they are that far off, and in a lot of areas they are not. I think kind of an interesting element about the Colts, and I mean, you guys saw it firsthand last year in their game in Buffalo. The yeah. Colts are built like more of a 1980, 1990 type team. They want to pound it and pound it and pound it, and they have a workhorse in Jonathan Taylor who can certainly do that. The problem is you know, you look at the league's leading rushers last year. Jonathan Taylor had 500 more rushing yards than any other player in the NFL last year. That is an astronomical number, and yet the Colts are watching the playoffs from home. If you look at the top 10 rushers in the league last year, I think Joe Mixon, maybe Najee Harris, mm-hmm. were the only runners in the top 10 that played in the postseason as well. So it just there's a question, I think, here of the Colts have a good football team, but are they built a little bit too archaic to truly thrive in 2022 NFL?
Do you think that that will change? Do you think that with Ryan there and, I mean, Michael Pittman is maybe starting to develop into like a star receiver in the league. He's maybe not quite the household name yet by casual fans, but do you think they'll stick kind of to the blueprint of last season, or do you think with the quarterback change that there'll be more pass volume than there was?
Yeah, I think there will be. I don't think it's all of a sudden going to go, you know, 70-30 or something crazy in terms of passing it, or, you know, even bigger than that. But I think they want a quarterback that can take advantage of the opportunities that Jonathan Taylor creates. And I don't think they felt like they had that last year with Carson Wentz. They don't feel like when the favorable box situations happen that they had a guy who could take advantage of that. And now they feel like they do have a quarterback who can better take advantage of those opportunities. So just finding a little bit of balance. There was a game last year against New England late in the year when I want to say Carson Wentz, and the Colts won the game. Carson Wentz had like 50-some yards passing. You know, and I know that passing yards, like, don't say everything, but the yards per attempt number, which is a really big, I think, metric in evaluating the efficiency of the passing offenses, that number was really low last year. And, again, when you have the league's leading rusher by so much, he should be creating favorable, you know, boxes and things like that for the passing offense. So just a little bit more balance.
Kevin Bowen on the Western Hotline for just a couple more minutes. On the Colts defense, it was a pretty good unit last year. They add Stephon Gilmore, and I'm assuming expectations would be that that's going to be a pretty solid unit.
Yeah, new defensive coordinator as well, with Matt Eberflus taking the head job in Chicago. So Gus Bradley is now the defensive coordinator here in Indy. Not an overhaul of the system by any means, but it is something to note. Hey, you know, Gilmore looks like a guy that, you know, almost kind of playing chess out there, just kind of a veteran corner that, you know, knows the wideout routes before they even know or they've even completed their route. The big question for him is just, can he stay healthy? He battled some injuries each of the last couple seasons. I'd say the bigger offseason acquisition for them was Yannick Ngakoue. They've desperately needed an edge pass rusher. And Ngakoue, if you look at his career, he's bounced around, but you pretty much just pencil him in for double-digit sacks, and he plays virtually every game. And again, this franchise has not had that presence of an edge rusher in quite some time. So I think the arrival of Ngakoue, Gus Bradley once has history with them, first of all, and then he wants to rush forward. They don't want to blitz a whole lot in this defensive system. So I think having a guy like Ngakoue with DeForest Buckner as well, Colts should have a pretty formidable defensive line.
We are doing the Shaq Leonard thing, right? Like, that was real? That, like, we're calling him Shaq now?
Yeah, on the roster, they're going Shaquille Leonard. I would say his teammates tend to go Shaq. But, yeah, I'm shocked that I haven't called him Darius in this interview yet.
Wow. I'm sure that's going to happen, though. Or maybe not in this specific interview, but they'll have to be like a swear jar. Every time you say Darius, you put a dollar in.
Exactly.
Last thing for you, Kevin. So the division, I mean, I feel like it's right to eliminate Jacksonville and Houston as a threat to win it. I would be stunned maybe if maybe Jacksonville you could try to make the argument. Houston seems pretty unlikely for that. But if it's Indy versus Tennessee, which I think most are expecting, how do you think it stacks up? Colts are the betting favorite. Does that feel like that should be the case?
Yeah, I think so. I think A.J. Brown was a huge loss for Tennessee. Having said that, I've got a ton of respect for Mike Vrabel. And last year, didn't they have, like, the most players ever to play in an NFL season on a team? I mean, it was wild what they did. They were 6-3 without Derrick Henry last year. I mean, you know, for as much as Ryan Tannehill gets ripped, and we all watch the playoff game, but, I mean, they were able to get it done. Now, again, A.J. Brown, a huge part of that, no longer there. How healthy is Robert Woods off the ACL? How much can Treylon Burks give them from day one? It just seemed like the Titans find ways to win. It's not the prettiest looking thing in the world. They probably take on the persona of their head coach with some of that, and they just get it done. So I'm not writing the Titans off by any means, but I think it was a loss of A.J. Brown. I do think that could really, really hurt them. So the expectation here, I mean, it's year 5 for Frank Reich. It's year 6 for Chris Ballard. One playoff win, you know, obviously lost to Buffalo a couple years ago during the COVID years. But I think it's paramount that this core, the Quentin Nelsons, the Jonathan Taylors, the Michael Pittman, they get a taste of what the postseason is about and they win the division. The Colts haven't won the division since 2014, which I think would surprise some people. Every other team in the AFC South has won it since. So I think it's important to get that taste of what real January football is like.
By the way, and I mentioned the Colts are the favorite, I should have mentioned very, very slight, only -135, at least at the book that I'm looking at. Kevin Bowen on the Western Hotline. Hey, Kevin, thanks for joining me, man. Great insight. At KBowen1070, by the way, to follow him on Twitter. And maybe we'll chat again once the season gets rolling.
Can I sneak in one quick one? And this is more for selfish reasons. We expecting the Bills to play any of their starters on Saturday. Frank Reich acted like the Colts might play some of their starters. Not a lot, but I realize both franchises are coming at it from a little bit of a different point of view.
I can't even believe it's completely – we got so in-depth on the Colts, I forgot they're playing in the preseason on Saturday. Like, that is happening. I don't believe they'll play their starters. So how they've operated in the past couple of years is Allen included and the starters will play a couple drives, but it always comes in that third preseason game.
Right.
I'd expect a steady diet of Case Keenum on Saturday would be my guess. What about the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, again, they've flirted around that they will play their starters a little. I don't think it's all of them. I don't think it's for a lot. The Colts have lost 8 straight season openers. They have one of the worst September records in the NFL over the last handful of years. They've changed their training camp practice start time to try to get off to better starts. So all of this is in an effort to, again, play better in September. So they're coming at it from a different approach than certainly Buffalo would, but I was just curious. So maybe Matt Ryan for a drive or two, but I wouldn't expect much longer than that.
All right. Sounds good. Kevin, thanks again, man, and we'll chat soon.
Sounds good. Later.
Thanks. Kevin Bowen on the Western Hotline on the Colts. Right. They're playing the Bills in the preseason on Saturday. That's funny because that's not even really why I set up Kevin to come on the show. I just kind of want to bounce around the AFC South this weekend, but that's or this week. But that's right, Saturday, Bills and Colts in the preseason opener. We will take a timeout here. Players are just exiting the practice field right now, so we got one more segment to go before we wrap things up live at St. John Fisher. Joe DiBiase, Sal Capaccio here in the Extra Point Show on WGR. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.